are presumably all manner of subliminal indicators to distinguish the genuine article from substandard fakes. It's a good quality bootleg, if it's a bootleg, which means it's worth something, whatever's on it. Hey, shit for brains, try this. He knelt down, picked up the battered playback helmet, and jammed it onto the youth's head, then prepared to insert the experiential. The youth was just beginning to perk up when he saw the experiential, at which point he poured the air, trying to stop the man pressing it into the helmet.
"Get that maggot shit away from me!"
"Hey," the man said, "I was just going to give you a flash, dickface." He tucked the experiential away in his coat. "Why don't you try it yourself?" I said. "Same damn reason he doesn't want that shit anywhere near his skull. It's not nice." Nor's an NC interrogation session. That's a trip to the cake shop by comparison. That's just pain. He patted his breast pocket delicately. What's on this could be about 9 million times less pleasant. "You mean it's not always the same?" "Of course not, or there wouldn't be an element of risk. And the way these ones work, it's never exactly the same trip twice. Sometimes it's just maggots. Sometimes you are the maggots. Sometimes it's much, much worse." Suddenly he looked cheerful. "But hey, there's a market for it, so who am I to argue?" "Why would people want to experience something like that?" I asked. He grinned at the youth. "Hey, what is this? Fucking philosophy, eh? How am I supposed to know? This is human nature we're talking about here. It's already deeply fucking perverted."
"Tell me about it," I said.
At the center of the concourse, rising above the bazaar like a minaret, was an ornately encrusted tower surmounted by a four-faced clock set to Chasm City time. The clock had recently struck the 17th hour of the 26 in Yellowstone's day, animated space-suited figurines emerging beneath the dial to enact what might have been a complex, quasi-religious ritual. I checked the time on Vadim's watch, my own watch, I forced myself to think, since I had now liberated it twice, and found that the two were in passable agreement. If Dominica's estimate had been accurate, she would still be busy with Quirrenbach. The hermetics had passed through now, along with most of the obviously rich, but there were still many people who wore the slightly stunned look of the recently impoverished. Perhaps they had been only moderately wealthy 7 years ago, not sufficiently well-connected to barrier themselves against the plague. I doubted that there had been anyone truly poor in Chasm City back then, but there were always degrees of affluence. For all the heat, the people wore heavy dark clothes, often ballasted with jewellery. The women were often gloved and hatted, perspiring under wide-brimmed fedoras, veils, or chadors. The men wore heavy greatcoats with upturned collars, faces shadowed under Panama hats or shapeless berets. Many had little glass boxes around their necks, containing what looked like religious relics, but which were actually implants, extracted from their hosts and now carried as symbols of former wealth. Though there was a spectrum of apparent ages, I saw no one who looked genuinely old. Perhaps the old were too infirm to risk a trip to the bazaar. But I also recalled what Ocaña had said about the state of longevity treatments on other worlds. It was entirely possible that some of the people I saw here were 2 or 3 centuries old, burdened with memories which reached back to Marco Ferris and the Americano era. They must have lived through great strangeness, but I doubted that any of them had witnessed anything stranger than the recent transfiguration of their city, or the collapse of a society whose longevity and opulence must have seemed unassailable. No wonder so many of the people I saw looked so sad, as if